Thanks for downloading from the BBC. To find other downloads or more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is 5live. Mark, why have you taken your headphones off? And your microphone?
I was getting out of the way because you were looking towards your colleague and I thought I was in the line of sight. I'm just a film critic. I thought, feeling, I'm in the way.
Never just. You are the highlight of our afternoon.
That's very kind of you to say so.
The box office top 10 this week, but as you'll have realised, the movie reviews are a movable feast during the summer, so we'll do the top 10 while we have a moment. Is Ultraviolet.
Which is absolutely rubbish. And the best thing you can say about it, it's a terrible sort of sub-Eon Flux fantasy that apparently in its original cut was 2 hours long, but the studio cut down Kurtzman's cut to 87 minutes, and boy, they should have got in more than that because it's 87 minutes of stinkiness left behind.
Number 9 is Krish with 2 R's and a K.
Can't tell you.
Is that a Bollywood?
One would assume so, yeah. And we're in a funny situation now, again, about only some of the Bollywood releases being screened. Like I said, there's a distributor called Eros who regularly screen the ones that have subtitles to English-speaking critics in advance, but that we weren't shown.
Hard Candy at 8.
Which I think is fantastic. It went in at number 4 last week. Really good to see it doing so well. It's a really nasty, edgy slasher satire with Lolita getting her own back and a great star-making performance by Ellen Page, who's also in the X-Men movie and is the best thing about the X-Men 3 film.
Omen at 7.
You know, the 70s original is available on video. Why would you go and see the remake? OK, so you get to see it on a big screen, and I quite like Liev Schreiber, but he's not up there with Gregory Peck and Lee Remick. And you know, the original is the original. This is a shot-by-shot remake, but just with the originality missing.
Fearless at 6.
Which I quite like. I mean, I'm a big fan of Jet Li. This is apparently his last wushu movie, because he's now 42, I think. So he now, same age as me, so he now considers himself too old for martial arts. And you know what? I'm getting the same feeling.
It's his wushu movie.
Wushu, yeah, kung fu, you know, wushu, martial arts.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, I knew that.
You did, yeah, just checking. Well, he feels that at our age, we should probably lay off the high-kicking stuff. And I'm kind of inclined to agree with him. It's directed by Ronnie Yu, who did a great job of Bride of Chucky, incidentally.
Phyllis at 6, The Wind That Shakes the Barley at 5.
I liked it very much. It's not the film that the right-wing tabloids would have you believe. It's not the Brit-bashing sort of, you know, opus that everyone says. It's an interesting film. There are dramatic flaws with it, but I think that politically it should be left alone. Although I had a very interesting conversation with Steve Woolley, who produced Michael Collins the other day, about the difference in the politics between those films. We agreed that the Loach film is very socialist and Michael Collins is very humanist. I think that is the difference.
Da Vinci Code at 3. Oh, no, sorry, X-Men The Last Stand at 4.
Ellen Page is the best thing about it.
Elaine Page.
Ellen Page. Now, everyone does this. Everyone thinks that Elaine Page is currently starring in a slasher movie about an underage girl with a knife. Believe
You'd
me.
You pay money.
It's not. Although I read today in a paper, there was an article today in the Guardian that said that Elaine Page was in some particularly peculiar British movie in the 1970s. I'll grab the piece before I say anything that might be untoward.
Da Vinci Code at 3, enough of that. 2, The Lake House.
It's just absolute nonsense, and you know, Keanu Reeves, Sandra Bullock once again taking their career even further down the toilet with a time-travelling love story about two people living in the same building, separated by a gap of 2 years, and as one critic, not me, pointed out, it's fine because Keanu takes about 2 years to react to anything anyway.
This email from Mike in Moscow says, I'm listening to the podcast from far away, so apologies. Emails from me will sound like Keanu Reeves' letters in Lake House, out of date and off the point. Either way, I agree with everything Mark says, or sometimes I just reckon I'm being dumb when I don't. So fearing the risk of sounding like a daft architect who can't figure out his attic space, tell me, please, why is it not possible to stick a scarf in a time portal letterbox?
Okay, and that was... The best thing about that, well, there's two things. Firstly, the attic thing is completely right. The outside of the building is completely glass. You can see it doesn't have an attic. Keanu keeps going up into an attic, which clearly isn't there. There is a whole genre of science fiction films, of time-travelling science fiction films, in which something from one time zone is transported to another time zone with catastrophic effect. You know what it is? Like, you go back in prehistoric times, you tread on a butterfly, then the dinosaurs don't die out and, you know, the Nazis win World War II. That's the way it works. Not in this film. Oh, no! Sandra sends back scarves, books, doesn't make any difference, whatever she feels like, because obviously they're not interested.
And the UK's
neither was I.
The box office number one this week is The Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift.
Which is really shocking. Really, really shocking. It's rubbish. It's terrible. It's the third instalment in the... And you've just called this up for me. Do you want me to... So, apparently, according to The Guardian today, Elaine Page persuaded the producers of Adventures of a Plumber's Mate to drop her name from the poster because since making the film, she'd landed the role as Evita.
We just found that on the website because we thought it was quicker.
Yeah, may not be true. It's in The Guardian.
That's the fourth mention for them already.
No, sorry. Other papers are also available. Is that bad? I'm just sourcing it. That's all.
Chris in Hull, Simon, Mark, and Claire. As everyone knows, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So when Mark says action films like Pirates are terrible, our reaction is to enjoy them thoroughly. After all, Mark, it is only your opinion.
Yes.
And in this case, your opinion entirely wrong.
But did you like Pirates of the Caribbean?
Let's not go there. But of course, I did, as indeed did most.
Where do you stand?
I didn't see the original.
David Law.
I'm looking forward to seeing.
Did you see Pirates of the Caribbean?
Average in the extreme.
There we go.
But he's wrong as well.
No, he's closer to... I mean, he's not right in that he didn't say it's the worst film of that year and everyone involved should be sent to prison. But he is closer than you are in that it is average in the extreme. And apparently, people who have seen, you know, the new Pirates of the Caribbean say that whatever one's reaction was to the first one, one's reaction to the second one may be slightly more so. I mean,
it's deja vu all over again, isn't it?
It is. I'm already worried by the 152-minute running time.
This is a download from the BBC. To download other programmes or for more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live.
What's new this week?
Over the Hedge is the new big animated offering from DreamWorks. It has grown-up stars, although it's a kid-friendly film. So we're talking about Bruce Willis, Gary Shandling, who everyone obviously knows.
There's usually a big moral tale in these children's animations, isn't there? What is the big moral?
Well, OK, the big moral tale here is consumerism, probably bad. Great big cars being driven by one person, probably bad. Cute animals, probably good. So there's a kind of, you know...
That sounds frankly disappointing.
Exactly. There's an eco-friendly thing going on. And the voice artist, one of them whom is, incidentally, is William Shatner, who I haven't heard much from Asia, though I hear that apparently he's very big on television in some legal programme at the moment.
Apparently.
Since Star Trek, I kind of lost. No, was it called? T.J. Hooker was the last thing I think I saw him in. So, proper big Hollywood stars doing gags that are cine-literate. At one point, one of the creatures looks at something and says, "Rosebud," and all the film critics in the audience who've seen Citizen Kane, like, ha, 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 very good. And there's, as I said, a kind of vaguely eco-friendly message about the whole thing. And you're sitting there watching it and you're thinking, you know what? It's quite funny. There are some toilet gags in it that are quite funny. There are some breaking wind gags in it that are quite funny. There's a gag about the animals waking up after hibernation and they need to go to the toilet. That's quite funny. And I don't doubt for one minute that the film will take a huge amount of money. It's already taken something like $145 million in America. And I don't doubt for one minute the kids will enjoy it in a, you know, sort of lively and jolly and vibrant way. That the possum's pretending to play dead, all that sort of stuff. That, you know, fine. However, as I was watching it, the old git in me was sitting there thinking, what's wrong with this picture? And I kind of figured it out as best I could. It's a number of things. The first one is, we have now reached the point with CG 3D graphics that we are completely used to them. When we saw Toy Story for the first time, it was kind of like being drunk. You couldn't quite believe that you could do that kind of 3D graphic quite so well. Now we've seen it, you know, we've seen it in Madagascar recently, we've seen it in the wild, we've seen it in Over the Hedge. It's just more of the same. As far as the grown-up stars doing the cine-literate, smart, you know, nudge-nudge to the adults at the same time as doing, you know, all the gags for the kids, well, I kind of felt that after Shark Tale, there was a bit of a watershed, no pun intended, because Robert De Niro and Martin Scorsese riffing in Shark Tale was meant to be funny for me, and yet it wasn't. And, of course, the kids didn't understand what the deal was because, of course, the kids haven't seen Taxi Driver unless they live with people who allow them to see 18-rated videos, in which case you know where I stand on that, and slap wrists all round.
And their children should be confiscated.
But exactly. But the most important... Thank you for saying that rather than me. The most important part of all this is this. I know I went on about the death of narrative cinema before, but classic children's movies have classic, timeless themes that are beyond whatever is immediately sort of facetiously postmodern at the moment. You look at Sleeping Beauty, you look at Snow White, you look at Pinocchio, you look at all those classic things, right? They are timeless tales, they last forever. And they still exist. Toy Story, in 50 years' time, will look every bit as good as it did when it first came out. Miyazaki's Spirited Away and probably Howl's Moving Castle will look every bit as good as it did in 50 years' time, and you will still look at the animation and wonder at it. This will be in one ear, it will make you laugh, it will be out, and it will be gone.
We've given you a rundown of the top 10 movies. We've done Over the Hedge, which is a big animation release. Someone actually sent an email, Mark, wondering whether The Incredibles was the last cartoon, if you like, to be considered classical, many years' time will still be looked at.
Well, I famously got it wrong with The Incredibles because I thought The Incredibles wouldn't work with kids. I thought that whole first 20 minutes of him having a bad time in an office, which the director himself described as Bergman-esque, would just lose them. Of course, on DVD, you know, my kids absolutely love it, and it has become a huge hit. So I was wrong about that, and I do think now that partly because of the design of the Incredibles. Also, I've seen Cars, and I think the design of the Cars is pretty extraordinary. Over the Hedge doesn't have that. It doesn't have classic narrative. It doesn't have classic characters. There's nothing about it that would distinguish it from Madagascar or the rest of it. So it may well be that the Incredibles is the last gasp or something. But the point I was trying to make was we are still making other forms of animation that are classic. Look at Wallace and Gromit in The Curse of the Were-Rabbit. That movie will stand the test of time. And I wouldn't put it past John Lasseter to carry on coming. I mean, John Lasseter has a great relationship with Hayao Miyazaki anyway. It's not that animation is dying. It's that a particular form of slightly facetious animation has probably outworn its welcome.
What else is new?
Lindsay Lohan's back.
Oh, now, excellent.
This is a source of some friction between the two of us, although actually I rather like Lindsay Lohan in Freaky Friday. I think she's very good.
Terrific film.
Yeah, a remake of the Jodie Foster movie in which she demonstrated that, you know, maybe she was somebody who had the acting chops as well as the comedic chutzpah. Both
Love
of those
that.
Are available on the web if you'd
she's
like to look
them up. She's quite good in the Herbie film as well.
Yeah, she was fine. She was absolutely fine, no problem. Now in her first adult role, but that's not in the FNA sense. I mean, the first grown-up lead role. A film called Just My Luck, in which she plays a perky PR bimbo who's blessed with luck. Every time she walks out, she snaps her fingers, four taxis stop. You know, never walks... No bad things ever happen to her. The sun always comes out. Everything keeps getting promoted. She works for a PR company who gets... unfortunately thrown together into an embrace with a dorky, unlucky guy. He walks under ladders, he falls over, he steps in dog poo, all the usual, everything, you know, puddles, blah, 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 blah. They kiss, and her luck goes to him. Now, by a strange coincidence, he is McFly's manager. McFly, the British rock band.
So 1 week, then, yes. I get that, to 1 week to make McFly
big. Yeah. The finely honed acting talents of those young boys. Eh? They really, the terrible thing I was reminded of watching this was there's a British pop movie in the 1970s called Never Too Young to Rock. Do you ever see that? It had the Rubettes and Mud and the Glitter Band. And they were in a futuristic world in which rock and roll had been outlawed, so they could only play their music in underground circumstances. And the best scene in it is Mud playing Tiger Feet in the middle of a roadside cafe in the middle of a food fight, getting splattered with mashed potato and bangers and, you know, mash whilst playing Tiger Feet. And I just thought, you know, only a British rock band could suffer this indignity. And now along come McFly to trumpet. It's terrible. Just My Luck is really terrible. It's a real shame. Lindsay Lohan looks 17 going on 58, which is I don't know what they've done to her, but they've decided that, you know, she's going to play a grown-up role, therefore we will just attack her with a trowel of makeup. They've given her a lousy script, and although she has great comic timing, none of it is evident here. McFly are McFly. I mean, they're perfectly likeable, dorky Brit band with silly haircuts who do quite nice pop tunes, but they are terribly ill-served here. The gag is their manager kisses Lindsay Lohan, he gets all their luck, they become really big. She knows that she has to snog him back to get her luck back, but does she want to pull the plugs on McFly's success? Well, the sound you can hear is everyone in the stalls going, yes, they can go back to England, it's fine.
She's in the attic.
She's exactly. He's a ghost, he's a guy. Anyway, so it's, I don't know who it's aimed at, but the younger audience, the people who really love The Parent Trap, I think will find it going over their heads, and the older audience will wonder who on earth these people are and why they are in their cinema.
Mark, thank you. Next week we'll do Pirates of the Caribbean two. Part 2. That'll be the fun and games in amongst the semi-finals here at Wimbledon.
Germany 2006. No one gets you closer to the World Cup than Five Live. And if you want to get even closer, sign up for our new daily Five Live Wire. A roundup of the news and gossip from Germany, from our correspondents, the teams, the training camps, and the treatment rooms. Plus, you can tell us how, when, and where you'll be experiencing the World Cup and what you know about the teams that we don't. To get Five Live Wire delivered to your inbox before the first game each day, go online bbc.co.uk/5live.